Hey, what's up? Welcome to today's post. I've had a number of calls this week and meetings with clients, and time management has seemed to be a big one. You know, as we start to tackle bigger and bigger problems and we take on more responsibility or start to get more volume in the sales cycle, it ends up being we get really busy. And so when I, you know, this is a good problem to have when clients are making more money and getting more sales. But the question then becomes, how do we manage all of this? And so I've had a number of calls this week just talking about the concept of time management and what are we really spending our time doing? So that's what today's post is about, how to be able to help you simplify what you're doing and understand that your time is yours and everything that you do with it is completely up to you. So today's post is called Time Management for Busy People, and I'm going to give you 5 steps that you can do to really take back control of your time. So the big question is, you know, everybody I talk to today, you know, they all say they're so crazy busy. And my question then becomes, what is it that everybody's so crazy busy doing? And so it used to be a lot easier when we could just go to work, you know, come home and our private time and our work time was separate. But now there's no sort of perceivable difference between what is work and what's our own. And so people now, there's this, you know, technology, there's globalization, and there's a different expectation that people have on us about what our availability should be. And so there's no end to the work that we can do. And it's causing a lot of stress. So today we're going to talk about this concept of time, what's happening to our brain, and I'm going to give you some tips on how to take back control. And the cool thing is that the more you do this work, the more that you're going to have time for you and get everything done at the same time. So it's awesome. So the first question I'm going to ask you is, who do you work for? Think about that. Whether you have your own business or whether you work for a company, busy professionals and business owners constantly struggle with juggling all these activities, and we often end up talking about this time management. I always say it's like juggling ping pong balls underwater. If you think about it, you've got like so much stuff that can happen every single day. Emails, texts, phone calls, social media, a bunch of interruptions, people come and talk to you, family, you want to work on your health, you want to work out, maybe you want to eat healthier, personal development, you want to read, you want to journal, all this kind of stuff, and maybe have some free time. Maybe you got kids. There's not any limit to the kinds of things that can be grabbing your attention. So each day, we're all dealing with this constant flurry of activity and we're trying to make sense of it. So you got to decide what's a priority, what do we drop, who do I avoid, all of that kind of stuff. So does that sound familiar in your day to day, right? So the big question that people ask me is how I can be on top of all these projects and things I've got going on. I've got lots happening and then still find time to seem to have unlimited free time. And the big answer is it's because I'm in charge of my days. And the question that I'll ask you is, who do you work for, right? Regardless of whether you're an employer or business owner, if you let your tasks control you, then you just simply work for those tasks. If you start a business, now you've just created a job. We've heard that before. And most of us are just slaves to being busy, right? And if you're a business owner, why did you start that business? Was it for more freedom or was it to have more work that just controlled you and stressed you out, right? And if you work for a company or even if you have employees, what are the employees doing each day that is truly being productive? Are they controlling their calendars or are the calendars controlling them? So I've got a link to another post about the difference between productivity and activity, right? And what do you really want in your life? Do you want to just be crazy busy? Maybe that's what you want to do and you want to go to work, solve problems, and do a bunch of stuff. Or do you want to have a rewarding life, spending time with people you care about and doing good work at the same time? And so what are you really working towards if not for those things? And in the end, you're suffering in the process, right? Sometimes we miss opportunities to spend time with those that we care about because we're working so hard so we can spend time with ones we care about. It's this crazy catch-22. So that's what this is about. I've been reading a lot about sort of brain and neuroscience. So let's talk a little bit about what happens to your brain when you're busy. There's a book I'm reading right now. I just finished. It's called The Winner's Brain. I would check it out. There's eight strategies that successful people use. And they studied how successful people's brains worked and how that led them to success. And the cool part about what's going on right now is that neuroscience and technology in the last decade has advanced so much that we can actually look into people's minds and see what's working and what's not and understand how it's going. So I'm a big nerd right now studying all this psychology because I want to know why I do all sorts of stuff. And I want to help other people understand that. So in the book, there was two concepts that I looked at. One is mindfulness and the other one is focus. And so, you know, for mindfulness, it's really just simply sort of being in the present and being a bit still and looking at your circumstances in this present-centered, uncritical, and non-reactive way. And how often, you know, are we looking at all this stuff and trying to understand what's going on? So mindfulness is just paying attention, putting our lens on today. And as the book explains, the cool thing is like winners are mindful and are more self-aware. Having confidence in your strengths is a great thing to have. But the winner's brain self-awareness means getting a handle on your weaknesses too. So think about that for a sec. It's not about knowing what you're good at. It's about being able to say, hey, I struggle with this. If I'm struggling with time management, let's shine a bright light on this problem, right? So you need to be mindful of the fact that your tasks are controlling you, but in a non-critical way. There's no judgment, so simply observe. And there's lots of links in this post to other articles that I've written that will help you with this stuff. The next one is focus, right? It's really hard for people to focus these days. And I've talked at length, I always talk about multitasking and the fact that when we multitask, we lose up to 40% of our productivity. This was from the American Psychological Association. They did all these studies on how the brain works, and I've got a link to that too. And one of the other surveys I was reading is that the average office worker switches tasks every 3 minutes, and then once they're interrupted, it takes us nearly half an hour to go back to the original task mentally. So think about that. We're shifting all the time in between things, and it takes us a long time to get back in the mode. So no wonder everybody's busy. We're just busy doing a bunch of stuff. So how often are you doing that? Jumping from activity to activity. And so earlier this year, I wrote a post and I shared with you a story about just focusing on one thing. And one of the hardest things that I've ever done was just read a book from start to finish. And since I started doing that and just focusing on one thing at a time, it's crazy how well my focus, my attention, how my productivity's gone through the roof. But it's really hard to do at first because your body and your mind wants to do everything except focus on that one thing. I want to check my email. I want to check my Facebook. I want to check who's called me, who's texted me. Hey, maybe I should trim my beard. There's all sorts of a million things that my mind wants to distract me because that's how we've trained our minds, is to be distracted. And so this is what I'm talking about. Just like any part of our body, we can actually train our brain. You can train, you've heard of lumosity and neuroplasticity, so that you can actually do new things with your brain. Your brain is very malleable. Think of it as like any muscle, right? And imagine that when you're multitasking, that you're really training your brain incorrectly. So your brain is not built to multitask, and you can really never teach it to. So if you're trying to train it to do that, you're really not doing yourself any favors. So I relate my brain to my computer and the fact that when I'm working in my on projects, often I end up having all of these tabs open, different documents, because I have the typical ADD like everybody else, where I'm trying to do a million things. And so I'm now in the habit, usually once or twice, maybe three times a day, is just shutting down my computer, restarting it, and then only opening the stuff that I need to, so that I can focus on that one thing and I don't have other tasks. I shut down my phone, put it in airplane mode, so that I can really focus on that specific project. And because our lives are so filled with all of these distractions, there's this completely new field of research that's evolved. It's called interruption science. People are getting paid to help us be less distracted. It's crazy, right? So we've done this to ourselves. So that shame on us, right? But for neuroplasticity, the fact is we can train our brain. So why not spend time training it to focus? Really focus. I'm trying to remember the app I just downloaded, a friend recommended, called Headspace. And it's a guided meditation program to help me just focus, right? So spend time focusing your energy on just one task at a time, get rid of those distractions, and you're totally going to change the physical makeup of your brain itself. And it takes work and it's going to be uncomfortable. It's totally worth it. And the next part here is take care of you first. The biggest pushback that I get from people when I share this with them is that they say, well, I don't want people to think I'm ignoring them. I can't just not respond to things. I can't just, not reply. I can't just be not available for all these people that are trying to get my time. But then this is probably the biggest reason people struggle with their time, is they let others claim it as their own. You may feel like you need to answer everybody, reply to those texts, answer all the calls, or agree to all these meetings. But the truth is, When you do all of these things, you aren't actually helping anyone. You're only contributing to the problem. So shame on you, right? And it's just like, I always love this analogy. If you're on an airplane, they always say, put your oxygen mask on first, right? Before helping anybody else. If you're not going to survive, how can you help them? So too often I see really awesome, smart, caring people overpromise and then underdeliver because they commit to too many things simply because they didn't want to say no to people. So this is usually, you know, the most difficult switch that you're going to have to make mentally, that it's totally okay to not be available. In fact, being unavailable can be seen as admirable from somebody watching what you're doing. And in this world of who can be the busiest, people see strength in someone who has complete control over their time and activities. And for me, I often tell people about my free time, and maybe I'm talking a bit fast right now because I'm trying to finish up before I go golfing. So I want to share with you, I tell people about what I do, my relationships, and my love for golfing, and that I have lots of time to enjoy my life, and I help people solve problems, and I get a lot of stuff done. And so everybody wants freedom like that. Everybody wants to be able to do that. I just had a meeting where they're like, man, I wish I could golf too. Right? So lead by example, help people understand that there is better way to do things. And the biggest one is, I remember reading Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now, and just this idea of whatever you're going into, go into it fully, right? Whether it's doing work, whether it's relaxing, whether it's being completely lazy, go into it fully. And there's too often we feel this shame and this guilt. Like if we're trying to have a nap, oh, we should be working. But when we're working, we're tired and I wish I could have a nap. Or when we're working, we want to go golfing. But when we're golfing, we should be working. So whatever you're going to do, just do it. And then structure your life around that. So the tip I have is free yourself from your own calendar first so you can help others do the same. So here's the five steps that you can follow, right? This will give you a pretty good, right now we've got a pretty good reason why we should do it. So let me share with you some things that you can do right away. The first one, take a mental shift. Step one, claim your calendar. Your calendar is yours to command. No matter who you work for or what business you're in, you claim that calendar. You decide what goes in it and when. If you want time to read, journal, do anything, work out, meditate, put it in your calendar, right? Make that time non-negotiable. And don't apologize for taking care of you first. Nobody else will schedule your own mental and physical health for you. Also, schedule time in your calendar for planning or mundane work, stuff that needs to get done, right? You know that saying, if you plan to fail, you fail to, what is it? You fail to plan, you plan to fail, right? Take that to heart. Make your calendar work for you, not you work for it. And for appointments and tasks, decide what you will and won't take on. Make it a plan, right? When people know you're not a slave to your business, they're going to respect that. Step number two. This is a big one. Be transparent with timelines and availability. This is usually where people screw up, is they just agree to everything. But instead, let people know what a realistic timeline for you to get things done. If they want things done sooner, help them understand how your schedule is going to work. Be straightforward with your availability and work through the schedule together to solve it, right? Understand that others struggle with time management too. So their requests on your time might not even be realistic in the first place. They might not even know what a priority is. So your role here is to help them see what you can and can't do in a given time period and show them how you propose on getting things done. And at the same time, totally be open about discussing their needs, right? So for example, you know, I'm always there to help my clients, friends, and family. But sometimes, you know, I have to tell them, hey, you know what, guess what? I'm busy over the next couple of days, or I'm out golfing today. Can I take a look at it when I'm finished that? That way, then I'm going to have a bit more time to dedicate to this that you want me to look at. And 99% of the time, people say, hey, that's not a problem. If for some reason they need it done immediately, I'll help them. You know, it's all about creating some boundaries while still being available, right? And I also ran into a situation the other day with someone who's not normally busy, and he expects replies right away. And so when I didn't get back to him right away, he felt like I wasn't making him a priority. And I wasn't happy about that because I want to make sure he feels valued. So rather than telling him he was being silly, I just agreed to email him back and let him know that, you know, here's when I'll be able to answer that. And I'll look at it when he sent me, and just simply acknowledging that I received his email. And he said that works fine, right? So you don't need to be a jerk about saying no. Just open up this dialogue, right? And when you say no, just offer options. I can't do it now, but what about this, right? I can't meet these next 2 weeks, but we should be able to do something after that. Just let people know when you are free. Step number three, tell others your expectations on their time, right? This is a big one that's overlooked as well. You may do all this work on your own time and got this great schedule, and when you need something, you hear crickets chirping on the other end, right? somebody's just disappeared on you. They ghost you, right? I hate that when I text somebody and they don't respond back. And with, as with any relationship, you should set the parameters of how you want to work together, how best to communicate with each other. And so last week, I talked a lot about listening. So this will fit really nicely with that. But are we really doing that? Are we understanding? Are we empathizing with the person on the other end? And when you're discussing your plans with them, help them understand how you work. And seek to understand how they work. And then let them know how much of their time that you may need and when you'd need a reply to be able to make these things happen. You guys create a plan. That way you set those expectations and avoid those really uncomfortable miscommunications. I thought you were going to do this, or I assumed, just don't assume people work the same way you do, right? And through this process, you get to lead others by your example and help them control their time. So it's a big win-win. And you got to respect their time as much as you want them to respect yours. Step number four, if things change in your schedule, let people know as soon as possible, right? Nothing drives me crazier than people that cancel last minute or no show, or they make constant adjustments. They don't know how much that drives me mental, and I can't stand when people are late. It all boils down to respect. I try and respect people's time as much as I can. You know what? We all make mistakes. But if we think a little bit spiritually for a second here, when you claim your calendar and you open it up to somebody else, you're giving something to them that's really valuable to you. Time is precious and it's finite. So when you have this value on time and people don't respect it, they're taking away from you as a person, right? And they're abusing this value and it feels terrible. So think about how that feels when you do that to them, right? And if your plans, your timeline, and your availability change, give them a heads up as soon as you know, right? Help them reorganize as easily as possible. And if not, you know, maybe you need to adjust some things to help, you know, help them. And so, you know, I read a great article I mentioned a couple weeks ago. You can check it out. It's on how society is flaky these days and people no show on things or just cancel last minute. So if you know that's happening, you can lead by example and you can be different. So be organized just as much as possible, but realize stuff happens, man. It's normal. Give people a heads up. And the last step is just do one thing at a time. Like I've mentioned a few times, I hammer this as much as possible. Shut out distractions. You know, when you're meeting with somebody, did you plan so like accordingly so that as you were meeting that the world was not going to collapse around you while you talk to them for half an hour? Good. Then leave your phone off. Nothing drives me crazy than when I'm meeting with them and they go, hold on a sec, I got to grab this. What does that say to me, to their respect of my time? That really pisses me off. But at the same time, is I know people are busy, and if there's something urgent that may happen while you're in with somebody else, let them know. Or if you're in a meeting, let people know, hey, guy, by the way, you know, my wife may be having a baby at any time, so if my phone rings, I may need to grab this, right? Is that okay with you guys? People are totally fine with that. Or, hey, you know, I'm really excited to meet with you, but I have a potentially really big client that's supposed to be calling, and there's only this time we can meet. Is it okay if I step out for a couple minutes when they call? And you know what? Most people are going to be really accommodating to that. And if not, you know what? You got to deal with that. But if you help people understand that you've got this focus and you're completely attuned to what you're talking about at the time, you're going to get a lot of respect back. Now, here's a bonus tip for you. Reciprocity and concessions, doing favors, right? Now, like I said, there's a little caveat here. This doesn't work if you don't have the right sort of relationship and your style doesn't work for this. The big thing here is that When you tell people what you like to do with your free time, like for me, it's golf, right? And so when they make a request of my time, that's more than I would like to do. So like I need to speed up a schedule or meet on a different day. You know, your job is to let them know that you're happy to help, but you're going to have to cancel something in your life that's fun to make that happen as a favor to them. So I could talk a lot about reciprocity and concessions and how that works from a neuroscience and psychology side, but just trust me, this works. So here's an example. For me, you know what? Normally I golf at that time on Thursday afternoon, but I know how important this project is to you. And that's the only time that works for your team to meet. So I'll cancel golf that day for the next 4 weeks so we can get this first part done. But then you owe me one. Deal? See, that works well for me. And I know I have a good balance, you know, I have a sense of humor. People like that. And it's honest. I do really like golfing Thursdays. And today's Friday. I'm golfing again today. So I talk a lot about golf. But there's a big power in giving concessions to somebody else, right? They naturally want to return that favor. So make your schedule all about time and value. Help others do the same. So there you go. That's the post today. I love this one. So if you want help with that, let me know. Go claim your calendar. Be a time management leader and have more fun with what you do each day. If you want some help, I got that $9 ebook, the 90-day sprint guide, help you manage some of your time. It'd help you plan out for the next couple months. And if you want help with more, you know, contact me. I'm almost done building a bunch of webinar stuff I'm going to launch, and I want to get you guys on board with some training. I got some awesome sales stuff, psychology, process, personal development. My clients are getting huge results off this stuff, and I want to create something that can impact more people, create this movement of people doing really cool work. So that's it for me. I'm going to go golfing, and I just hired a golf coach too, so I'm working on my swing. Things are all over the place, but I'm having fun. So share this, comment, like it, and I'll talk to you next time. Peace out!